You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I'm Dan Keller, and this show first aired March 18, 2025. On March 3rd, the City of Waterloo's council voted to delay implementing inclusionary zoning bylaws, which would have required developers to include some affordable units in any new condominium projects in areas around major transit stations. The new bylaw, which was approved in June 2024, would have gone into force at the end of March, and the decision to delay implementation follows a similar decision in December of last year by Kitchener's Council. Waterloo's bylaw called for 2-5% of gross residential floor space to be set aside for affordable units. City staff presented a report to Council which argued that tariffs from America, the federal government's restrictions on international students and immigrants, fluctuating interest rates, and the low resale price of condos are all creating uncertainties in the building market. Here is staff member Douglas Stewart.
What they are suggesting is that should the policies advance today, it could delay the recovery of IZ and could exacerbate whatever issues there are or challenges in the delivery of market housing.
The discussions included the current challenges faced by condo developers in gaining financing for any large developments and added that affordable unit requirements only add to those challenges. Condo developer Paul Levesque of Urban Legend Developments spoke at council and clarified his position after being questioned by Councillor Jan Vasek. Here is that exchange.
Looking forward, I'm always looking forward because obviously that's what puts food on the table for me. I don't see things getting better in the near term, certainly this year. If that adds any context or color to what's going to happen, I don't think your decision today really will make much of a difference because I don't see any projects actually moving forward in my industry amongst myself or my peers, just simply because there's not enough demand for people buying condominiums today.
To clarify what you're saying, it's that whether or not we approve this tonight will have no bearing on whether or not you decide to build anyways.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. I think it was one of staff's comments, you know, zero of zero is zero. So I don't see any projects moving forward this year. If anything, though, what it will do, though, is it will postpone, because there is a cost to the private sector to delivering the inclusionary zoning units, when the market does start to recover, it will postpone that recovery.
In the meeting, Councillor Royce Bodily proposed that the staff report be rejected and that the city should go ahead with implementing the inclusionary bylaw, saying,
I believe the time is now for us to move ahead with our IZ bylaw.
Councillor Vasek added,
we keep doing this as a society, pushing decisions forward because of fear. And you know who's afraid? People who are at risk of losing their homes, which is going to make more people homeless. People who can't find homes because there's not enough affordable ones. And so when I weigh this decision, and I try to make pragmatic decisions and value-based decisions, sometimes I err on the side of a value-based decision where I say, yes, we are living in the real world and the development community is having a hard time getting financing. I get that. And then I also think of all the folks who are really struggling and have real day-to-day fears. I'm quite sorry, but I'm not afraid of the development community's ability to put food on their families' tables. And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but I'm just not.
Despite Councillor Vasek's support, Bodily's motion was buried with an amendment from Mayor McCabe, who explained,
even if IZ was introduced tomorrow, like, we would add 5 to 10 housing units. This is not the panacea. IZ is important, but it's one piece of the housing continuum.
In the end, a majority voted to delay the bylaw implementation and resume the discussion with an updated report to be presented in June. This show features an interview with Lynn Intini, an eviction prevention and tenant organizing worker at the Social Development Center of Waterloo Region, a local non-governmental organization. Intini discusses inclusionary zoning, the focus on investment-driven developments, housing needs versus housing demand, and non-market solutions to the housing crisis.
I'm Lynn Intini. I'm an advocate for equitable housing policies focusing on tenants' rights.
The City of Waterloo recently voted to delay the implementation of their inclusionary zoning bylaws. Do you have a reaction to that delay?
I'm not surprised, because we know that the City of Waterloo is part of a larger area. And since Kitchener made the decision to delay implementation, if Waterloo were to implement it right now, it would have a detrimental effect on their ability to get housing built. Inclusionary zoning policies are relying on the private market. And it's a cool policy because it's a way to generate below market rate housing without the need for government subsidies. But the reality is it generates a small quantity of below market rate units with affordability to moderate income households. It's not meant or intended to address the level of deeper affordability, which is also necessary to meet the needs of our community.
Lynn Intini continued.
Part of the reason they're afraid of stunting development is because our current system is based on the idea that the vast majority of our housing units will be constructed by the private market. And getting money from the provincial government for having the required number of housing starts is based on a certain number of housing starts. And we're beholden to the private market to do that. It's this cyclical problem. And I would say the only real solution is to get out of the idea that it's the private market that's going to provide housing for all people, for all of their needs, and allow us to have complete communities, which include people of all income levels. Because we need people who are working as care workers, like early childhood educators, personal support workers. We need those people. We need janitors. We need store clerks. We need all kinds of things. And we can't just say, well, I guess we'll have to somehow afford to own a car and drive from elsewhere to get here. Also, if we're talking about complete communities, we also need families and children. And the units that are being built by the private market are mostly being built with the idea of being appealing to investors, which means smaller units that are not suitable for families. If we're only going to rely on the private market, we're simply not going to be getting the type of units that we need to build complete communities.
I asked Lynn Intini to expand on why developers are focusing on investor demand over housing need. Here is what she said.
So one of the things I keep hearing is that, well, the developers should just make less profit. And it's a really tempting narrative because it's so simple. But there's federal lending laws which constrain how institutions are allowed to lend money in order to reduce the likelihood of loan defaults. And part of that, in very simplified terms, is the amount of profit they're expected to make. So to have financial viability with a certain amount of profit necessary, they tend to require a certain percentage of pre-sales, and that's like 60 to 70% pre-sales. And those pre-sales are largely going to be investment-driven purchases, which leads to one of the things that the reports are talking about, this 2,500 unsold condominium units representing 31 months of supply. That's three times more than they would want to see on the market. A lot of them may come onto the secondary rental market. That's usually why the investors have purchased them, is with the intent of renting them out. But because those were built after 2018, they're not subject to rent control. So the long-term affordability of those units that are sitting on the market isn't great.
With inclusionary zoning, there are questions of affordability of the so-called affordable units that do get built. Can you comment on the high prices of rentals, even those that are deemed affordable? Like, what does that mean?
Inclusionary zoning is looking at a definition of affordable, which is 30% of median renter income in the local area using Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation data, which in 2023, that's a one-bedroom rental price of $1,425 or a two-bedroom of $1,660, which is a big difference compared to the market rents we're seeing of like $1,800, $2,000, $2,300, etc. But it's still not going to meet the needs of a lot of families in our community. It's not going to meet the needs of single earner households. It's definitely not going to meet the needs of people who are on Ontario disability, because frankly, even with the housing cost amounts, that's legislated poverty. There is a need for this level of price point, but it's probably not the people you think it's going to help. So City of Kitchener and City of Waterloo have said that the inclusionary zoning units must be rental, not ownership, which is great because we do need more rental units. So if the development being proposed is condos, so ownership, they could fulfill that either by providing rental units in another development that's still in the local area, or those condo units could be sold to a not-for-profit housing provider, which is a great plan to set up and have not-for-profit housing providers have first right of refusal on purchasing those units, because that might enable the units to stay affordable after the 25 years that is required as part of the affordability covenant for inclusionary zoning. So a lot of housing advocates would actually ask for greater affordability than 25 years duration, but the province of Ontario has actually constrained that. So that's not something municipalities have a say in.
We are in a housing crisis, an affordability crisis. Can a city rely on inclusionary zoning to produce affordable housing through the private market? Are there other avenues the city could be pursuing to tackle this housing crisis?
It's a yes and option. And that's how the municipalities are proposing it. It's one way of getting a small number of affordable units with no need for government subsidies. I think in order to really solve this problem, and it may not just be at a municipal level, I don't think it can be just a municipal level, is looking into non-market housing. It's taking the profit motive out of it. It's taking investment and financialization out of it.
Intini then offered some ideas of tools available beyond inclusionary zoning to tackle the housing crisis.
If we go back and we look at something like Victory Homes, which was like 1940s to the 60s in Canada, they were building homes that were affordable to lower income households. I believe in today's dollars, the Victory Homes were around $80,000. But the problem was there was no requirement for when the owner sold that home eventually for them not to just take the profit and run with it. It became an investment for that individual household. Projects like land trust can keep that affordability with the unit. They can allow the owner of the unit to make a profit when they eventually sell, but not at market rates. And this is what keeps units more permanently affordable than if we just give one tenant or one household this major gift and actually try to keep the equity within the project. When all of these resources and funding is put into creating affordable housing, and it moves from a non-market housing provider to being privately owned, it can become an investment vehicle. And any of the equity generated for that non-market housing provider in the ownership of the housing and the land, that equity can no longer be used to provide backing for loans in order to purchase more properties. So every time the province, municipality, a non-market housing provider sells off currently affordable housing to a market provider, that's lost. So then we have to start from scratch again with these massive investments in housing. Unless there's a way to somehow compel the private market to develop housing, which genuinely meets the affordability needs, the size needs, the location needs, the accessibility needs of real people who are actually going to live in that housing, it doesn't matter how many housing units we start. It's a huge use of space, resources, energy to build investment units. It's not a wise planning choice, and we need to move away from that, which takes out the investor, it takes out the incentive to generate profit above humans living in a dwelling unit. Because that's what homes are actually supposed to be for, is for living in.
That was an interview with Lynn Intini of the Social Development Center of Waterloo Region. Intini was responding to a recent City of Waterloo Council meeting where a majority voted to delay the implementation of the city's inclusionary zoning rules. The discussion will be reopened in a June council meeting. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.